Welcome to What's the Truth, a podcast hosted by me, Jessica Hoddle. And today's lie is lie number 23. It's supposed to be easy. And we have a special guest, Sheila Muskin. You're listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a number one bestselling author, wife, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Every week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. Today, we're really diving into this topic of, if I'm in God's will, isn't it supposed to be easy? And I think that we kind of think that way, don't we? Where, okay, I know God has called me to be a teacher, but then you become a teacher and you go, this feels way too hard. Easy does not always equal you're in the will of God, and hard does not always equal will of God either. And so how do we find this balance? What does it mean? And Sheila really goes into her new book as well. But this is for you. This lie is for you if you've ever felt like giving up because things seem too hard. Sheila, I am so excited that you're here with us today. Now, you have a new book coming out, and it's called Finding Your Voice, the 40-Day Guide to Rediscovering Your Purpose, Passion, and Priorities. And I love that you broke this down into three parts, which is clarifying your purpose, which is part one. Part two is understanding your passion and using your talents. And part three is establishing a healthy priority, healthy priorities. Now, we're going to kind of interweave your story into this, but I would love for you to kind of share with us, why is this lie, it's supposed to be easy, really important to you?
Well, Jessica, first of all, thanks for having me. Such an honor to be here with you today. And yeah, why is the lie that it's supposed to be easy important to me? Well, it's because I think so many of us, especially women, fall into this lie. We think that if something is from God and it's meant for us, then it shouldn't be so hard to pursue it. And that if we run into obstacle after obstacle or roadblock after roadblock into something that's hard, then maybe it means that we are pursuing something outside of the will of God. And this lie held me back for years from really just stepping into my calling and using my talents. The fear of being outside of the will of God or doing things that didn't align with what he had for my life paralyzed me for years. And so I just found myself in a place where I was constantly holding back.
I actually love that because I think many people can relate to the fact that talking about purpose, I think is just a big topic anyways. It can be very overwhelming for many people. And I love how, like I said, you break that down. But when you said that it's important to you about how we are so afraid to get it wrong. Mm-hmm. And then we try in perfection and to strive for perfection, right? Of like, oh, I just got to get it right. I just got to get it right. And so can you share with us that moment or that time when you believe this lie for yourself, how you were like, it's supposed to be easy. And so what did you discover from it or learn from it?
Yeah. So from the time I was a little girl, I loved music, and music was always a big part of my life. And I knew deep down that somewhere along the way that in my life, music was going to be a tool that God was going to use in my life to serve through my gift. And I always knew that I wanted to at some point pursue singing in a professional capacity. And when I was young and I started singing more, I started touring with a music group. And at the beginning, because I was part of this large group that was traveling around the world, and everything was kind of like laid out for me, right? All I had to do was to show up, step on stage, grab my microphone, and sing. And So I had a bit of this false image of like, ooh, okay, everything is just kind of laid out. And so later on, when I stepped out on my own and I started singing on my own and I started sharing my story and the message that God laid on my heart, I suddenly found myself in the midst of, running into roadblocks of like, how do I get bookings, and how do people find out about me, and where do I, you know, set up a website and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, anytime you're starting from scratch, everything is hard. When you're a beginner, you're gonna so to speak suck at it at first until you learn the ropes. And I found myself in this frustrated place. Oh my goodness, this is so difficult. I feel like I'm running into roadblock after roadblock. And I found myself in a place like, am I not supposed to pursue this? I honestly believe that God gave me this gift to be used, but is it really supposed to be this hard? And I almost gave up. And thankfully, God brought wise mentors into my life who have spoken truth and wisdom, who have gone before me and knew that, you know, the beginning process, and sometimes when you're pursuing a big vision, a big calling, that the sign that you are running into obstacles is actually sometimes that you are on the right track, and that the enemy is really trying to like hold you back big time. And so I remember, I don't know if you know Dan Miller, he wrote the book 48 Days to the Work You Love. And he said, you know, first 3 years as an entrepreneur, he not only didn't make any money doing what he did, but lost money. And my friend Allie Worthington said the same thing when she started her blog, that the first 3 years she hardly saw any results. And unfortunately, it's during those times that most people give up, because they think to themselves, well, if it's supposed to be, it should be easier.
Mm. No, that's good. And I think too, when we don't see, like we say like, okay, I'm just going to trust God, but really we're only trusting what we see, right? Because if people give up so soon, we're just putting our faith in what we see and our works, not in the faith of God. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yes. And the funny, it's not funny, it's ironic part of that is that God says, well, will you trust me with this first step? Take the first step and then I'll show you the next one.
Yeah, no. And do you think at all when it comes to, it's supposed to be easy, do you think that comes with pride, or, you know, not willing to kind of humble ourselves, kind of maybe us thinking, well, I should just have it all together, and well, since I don't, then it's just too hard and it's not the right path. Do you think that has anything to do with it or no?
I think you hit it right on the spot, because in all honesty, I mean, let's ask ourselves, if we were to pursue anything in life that is like the outcome is not 100% guaranteed and nobody was watching, would we go for it? Most likely, yes. I think what we are most worried about is that what if I fail and I fail in front of others, what will they think of me? That I honestly think that that's what it is. One of the main reasons.
Yeah, and we can see in scripture so many times, even in Paul's writings and everything, about how we're not here to please man, and how he's not here to have this persuasive speech and this perfect speech to perform. It's not about the performance, but the power within us. And I think you're right as well of just how easy it is for us to go, this seems too hard, I must have got it wrong. When really, I think hard is kind of a head, like this headway for I'm learning something new, because your brain has to create like that space. It's never been here before. It's never been to a blog. It doesn't know how to take in the information. And so we have to learn that. One section, well, I love how you break down your book. And one, I love that it's a 40-day guide on this topic, because it's bits and pieces. It's like sound bites that are doable, you know, where you can read a day, and in each day you either have, you know, you have those find your voice moments, which are kind of like prayers with action. And then in some days you have where very specific steps, 1, 2, 3. And so, I just love day three. When I came across day three, you were talking about the story with your son. Will you share that story about your son and what he called you as in comparison to your husband?
Yes. I love that story. And first of all, I'm chuckling because any of us who have toddlers know how straightforward they are. Like, there's no filter whatsoever. They're just going to say whatever they think, which is very amusing, but also humbling at the same time. But yes, it was my son was about 4 years old, I think. And we were having this conversation. He was just going on and on. I mean, he has this fascination with his dad anyways. Like, they have this very special bond. And he looks up to his dad so much. And so he was telling me all about, you know, his dad's work. He's so important because he goes to the hospital every day and he saves lives. And just on and on about how important dad's work is, which he's right. It is very important. And then, so I was listening to him, and when he finished, I asked him, so what do I do? Like, what am I? And he looked kind of perplexed for a moment, and he said, well, you're just mommy.
Yeah.
You know? And to me, I feel like, because I've been a speaker and have been on stage as a storyteller, I always try to find like the story in the moment. And so I was like, either write it down or make a mental note, because it made me think after we had this conversation, it made me think, you know, that how many of us have this just kind of on replay in our brains. And even when we introduce ourselves to people, we say, well, hi, or maybe we don't use the word just, but in a way, the way we talk about ourselves is like, well, yeah, I'm just this, labeling ourselves. And I think many of us struggle with that, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I love this story. Like you said, it just kind of makes you chuckle. We don't have any kids, but our best friends have daughters. They're 9 and 11. And even at 9 and 11, like, their one daughter, Alexis, she shoots it straight to me all the time. Like, she's not afraid to tell me if she hates my hair, if she hates my clothing choice. And, you know, when I was reading that story and he had said, you know, your son had said to you, well, you're just mommy. It makes us think that, like, I almost think of, well, but I'm more than that, right? Like, your heart says, yes, I'm a mom, but, and I love being a mom, but I feel like I'm so much more than that. Can you kind of speak to that? Because it comes with that, oh, I just feel like it's supposed to be so easy, but in the hard things, that's what grows us. And that's really the truth, is that it's not supposed to be easy. And the more we can embrace that, things in the beginning seem hard and uncomfortable, but as you get through them, it's growth. But can you maybe speak to that woman that's like, yeah, I keep saying I'm just a mom, or I just work at so-and-so, where you're more than the just. Can you kind of address that?
Yeah. So I think, first of all, the fact that we assign, it's when we say I'm just, it's almost like, well, isn't that enough in a way? You know, I'm just a mom. Well, that should be one of the highest, I guess, callings. I don't know. So I think it's just that it's almost like we make it into a small, not a position, but in a way it's like, well, that's not enough. That's what we're telling ourselves. And I think the other thing that where the dissonance is created is that deep down, I think all of us are desperately want our lives to stand for something bigger than ourselves, that goes just beyond ourselves. And so, something that we have a life of significance and meaning. And I think where that comes from is that God himself placed that within us. Right. Yeah. Because when you read in the Bible that he says that you are a masterpiece and you were created in Christ Jesus to be in relationship with him and then do his work with him. I think that, that right there, it says that, you know, we are created first to be in relationship with God, but then also to participate in the work that he is doing in the world. And so when we are labeling ourselves as just, we're kind of taking that away, I feel like. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Yeah, no, I think that's why our heart yearns for, we're more than a title from this world, right?
Yes.
I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm just these things. And I feel like it is coming from this place of lack. It's, you're labeling mm-hmm. yourself as just when you're like, I know I'm so much more. Well, that's good news because you are, you know, it's, you are so much more than that. Yeah. And, you know, kind of this idea of person, purpose, passion, and priorities, how does one find what to do first in the midst of, say somebody's like, nothing feels easy right now, right? Mm-hmm. And kind of that base starting point for somebody discovering purpose, their passion, or what their priority is. And you kind of go through that again in each part, but how does somebody start when they're just like, I already feel like it's not easy and I haven't even done anything yet?
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like that I built the book up. It's almost like a sequential, or they build one section builds on the other. So I personally would recommend someone go back to trying to clarify their purpose. And I think that one of the best one, I don't know if they're a person of faith. Most people who are listening to your podcast, they're a person of faith, right?
Correct.
So, I mean, one of the best or almost only places sometimes to go back to is to the Bible. What does God say about who you are? Because I think, first of all, God, what does God say about himself, who he is, and what is his big vision, I guess, for our life and for the season that we are in. So I that's why I brought up that Bible verse where it says that, for you are God's masterpiece, created in Jesus Christ. I'm paraphrasing here, to be in a relationship with God and then to do his work. So I think that I would send people back to, for me, the foundation is to figure out what is your inherent, I don't know if that's the right word, purpose, and what is your assigned? Because that Bible verse right there says that your inherent person is that, first of all, you were created for God. It's basically, he delights in having a relationship with you. So I think that's our first purpose. It's to be in relationship with God. But then I think that our assigned purpose then is to work alongside him in the bigger work that he is doing in the world. And the way you find that out is by going back to, what are your natural giftings? What are your talents? What are the things that you feel like make you come alive? Where do you lose a sense of time, meaning that you start working and you get into the flow and you lose track of time? So those are all cues, I feel like, that kind of help us understand more of how we're wired, because I honestly don't believe that God gives us gifts and talents and strengths only for us to work outside of those things that he has given us. I believe that those should be clues for us to be like, oh, okay, maybe this is my lane where I should be. I could be making the biggest difference.
No, that makes sense. And so can you actually give tangible example of what that looks like? So I think, again, we hear the word purpose and it sounds really big. And I love that you actually went into, what is your talent? Like, what are things that make you come alive? But can you even relate that to your own life and story where you went back to, you know, after you got off the stage and you're singing to now into speaking, what did that look like for you tangibly to go, I'm going to go to the word first to find my purpose, but then how do I apply that in my actual calling, right? How do I apply this to speaking? I know my purpose and my identity, but how do I transfer that into now my next step that's actionable? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I think, first of all, and I think this is something that I want everyone who's listening to hear me on, is that the clarity is not going to come overnight. So I know that all of us kind of want give me the three steps of quickly getting to what I'm supposed to be doing. And I've been doing what I do now first from when I started touring, which was when I was 18, which was 20 years ago. It's hard to believe. But then, you know, to going out on my own, I feel like it's an ongoing process where it's almost like God is constantly like peeling off a layer and also sometimes making you pivot. But for me, where it started, once I started getting clarity on, okay, I know now that God has created me with a purpose, with a specific, assignment in mind. And these are kind of like the gifts and talents that He has given me to do. I started doing that first, right? So I knew that singing was a big thing for me, because from the time I was 7 years old, I was singing constantly. And because it was such a pleasurable activity for me, I didn't really view that as work, right, or as practice, because but over time I became really good at it because I did it for so long. And so I started doing that again. I started singing, and the more I sang, the more people started inviting me to different places. And then I remember one time I was singing at an event, and for the very first time I was asked to share like 20 minutes of my story. And I was horrified. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm a singer. I'm very comfortable on stage. I'm comfortable to perform, but to speak, like, that's definitely way out of my wheelhouse.
And most so people think that it's not, because you're like, hey, you hold a microphone all the time in front of hundreds of people. So how is that even different? So yeah, like that, it is. Yeah. I love that you
hear that. Well, it's different because the thing is that preparation is what gives you the confidence, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah. So I've been preparing as a singer for years and years, but for speaking, I didn't have a whole lot of experience, unless, you know, I was speaking a sentence or two between songs.
Yeah.
But not
yeah.
like hearing out a keynote message.
yeah.
So I was horrified. But anyways, I did it anyways, because I was like, okay, this is... there's an opportunity that's been given to me. There's an opportunity that's been given to me. Will I shrink back, or will I take action? I just decided, okay, I'm going to act on it. So I spoke. And then at that event, there were three people who walked up to me and said, I feel like you spoke right to me. And I got two other invitations to speak at other events. And so I feel like when we start paying attention to these clues of, you know, people are responding to it, it's connecting with the heart of people. And again, it's just realizing that it is a process. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some intentionality and digging in. But I think the more and more we, again, it comes back to God saying, here's an opportunity. Will you trust me to act on it? The more clarity we will get along the way.
That's good. And
I know that that's not a step-by-step of an answer we're all hoping for,
but most of us are.
Yes.
You know, but the reality, because we live in a, you know, I talk about this often, this instant gratification world where we see somebody else's quote unquote overnight success. And we have to constantly tell ourselves that it's been years in the making, just like you said. Right. You know, I'm 10 years into my industry, and I am constantly like, is this the right, am I doing the right thing? Because scripture tells us that we get to go glory to glory. And that just means that everyday process of renewing our minds and our hearts to Christ, you know, and I think that is, you know, the past 2 years, the Lord has really said slow and steady. That's all that He's told me. Just slow and steady, you know, of every day, what does it look like? And me being able to meditate on slow and steady takes off the pressure, right? It's like, I don't need to have it all today. And I think that's what you're saying. And I love that you just said that, like, hey, like, listen, guys, if you're looking for a step-by-step, we can give you some steps, but you're going to have to walk it out. And that's just important that we all have that role, right? It's just taking that responsibility. And so,
well, and I think that the world that we live in is kind of like, is not helping us, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm very much, you know, into personal growth, and I love to read and follow different mentors. And first of all, as you said before, sometimes it's easy for us to miss the fact that people who are really successful at what they do And most of them have been doing in the background, behind the scenes, what they're doing and what they're seen for right now for, well, you know, 10 years, 15 years. And I think the other thing is that I have fallen into so many times at the beginning is that, you know, I would listen to these mentors and they would say something like, this is how I did it. This is what, these are the steps that I have taken. And then I would try to take those steps and it didn't work for me. And I was so frustrated. I was like, well, I did everything you told me to do and it didn't work. Well, what I didn't hear them say though, was the fact that, listen, these are the steps that I took and they worked for me, but you have to adjust them to your life because you are kind of quote unquote the master of your life. You have the insight to your own life better than anybody else. And so in a way you have to kind of figure it out for yourself in the sense that you take something and you try it out and say, will this work? Will this not work? How do I pivot? Do I adjust? And that always takes time, which is not something we want to hear because in an Insta world, we want instant results and that almost never happens.
So true. And I, with this, the overnight and the Insta world is that we have to take the time to work that out ourselves, like you said, because it's easy to take, you know, Sheila's steps and go, I'm going to do exactly like she did. And what I've learned in my own business is when I try to do that, I end up frustrated, overwhelmed and all the things, because a lot of marketers will say, do this exactly as I tell you and X, Y, Z will happen. And I think if we can just understand that it's always a guide. It, like you said, like your book is a 40-day guide. It's a guide. Here are the steps I know to be true. Now apply these to your life. you know, work this out. If people are doing webinars or, you know, whatever it is, we'll take their steps of action and apply it to yourself. And so what truth do you want to leave the listeners with today of this? The lie is it shouldn't be so hard, right? What is the truth that you want to leave the audience with today, the listeners?
Yeah. So I think, the truth that I want to leave is that I love how you said that slow and steady wins the race. I am a big believer of that. I believe that consistency, small, consistent steps will always, always outdo big one-time gestures or big intentions. And I just want to encourage whoever is listening to this episode that it will take time, especially at the beginning. I remember reading a quote somewhere on Instagram that said, decide to show up for 2 years consistently without seeing any results, and you'll see what happens after 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I have seen this in my own ministry and business, just like in anything else in life, the beginning, the laying the foundation is one of the hardest parts. I mean, if you think about it, right, when a rocket takes off, pretty much all the fuel is used up, right, when they're launching. Mm-hmm. The same thing, right, when a child starts to walk. I mean, how many times do they fall over and over and over again? Do they ask themselves, well, I haven't done it the first time around, so this must not be for me, right? Okay, they're children, I understand that. But at the same time, I think that it should be a good clue for us that everything that we do at first is not gonna go the way we want it to. We're gonna run into roadblocks. We're gonna run into things that don't work out the way that we want them to. We're gonna make mistakes. But I don't think that that should hold us back from just continuing to stand up and try again, try differently, pivot, go about it a different way. I honestly believe that if God really doesn't want us to do something, he will make it extremely clear for us. If we are in a relationship with God where we're constantly asking for his wisdom, his guidance, I am convinced that he is going to tell us if we're out of alignment with his will for our lives.
That's good. That's a lot of truth. And one thing that I love asking the guests on the podcast is, what lie have you been believing lately, or what lie does the enemy keep throwing your way, and what truth are you standing on? So the lie can be anything. It doesn't have to deal with the topic today, but is a lie coming your way that the enemy keeps trying to convince you of, and what are you standing on truth with?
One of the lies that I feel like I have been struggling with from the time I was a child, and that's one of the reasons why I wrote this book, Finding Your Voice, is that my voice is not special enough to be heard, or that my voice doesn't really matter. Because of my background, I was raised in a highly abusive home, and also in a third world country amidst communism and just a lot of hardship. I grew up to be a very, very insecure person. And I honestly believed, even in my early 20s, that my life did not matter. That if the people who were closest to me, my own parents, didn't want me, then how could I possibly have any value to offer to the world? And so even to this day, this is something that I constantly have to go back to God for, to the Bible for, and letting him speak truth into my life. The fact that because I am his child, because I was created by him, that I am valuable, and that my voice does matter, not because of who I am, but because of the DNA that I carry within me from the one who created me.
That's beautiful. It's so true. And I love hearing the lies, just because I think it helps us relate sometimes that the enemy still comes for us, no matter how solid you are in scripture or the word or whatever it is in your, you know, in your calling, the enemy still comes for us, you know, and he comes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And that's just important. He sounds like a lion. He's not a lion, but he gets really loud at times. So thank you for sharing that. And where do you want my listeners to go first to get your book and to just follow you and hang out with you?
They can check out my book at captivate-training.com/FYV book. It's Finding Your Voice book. So it's captivate-training.com/FYV book.
And I will.
I don't want to send them to my personal website because my name is gonna mess them up.
Why don't you tell us your name and where you're from so that people know?
Yes. So my name is Csilla Muskan, and I am, I'm from Hungary. So currently I live in Nashville. My husband and I have been living in the US since 2007, but, I was raised in Budapest, Hungary.
I love that. And so when you might not see her name right now, but in the notes you will, but when we say Csilla, her name is spelled C-S-I-L-L-A. So it doesn't sound... It doesn't look like anything like it. So I wanted you to share that. So I will have all those notes below. So guys, go check it out. And I pray that this really encouraged you to, hey, if you're feeling it's hard, then you're doing it good and you're doing it right and keep showing up. So thank you so much, Csilla, for sharing your voice with us. It's been so fun to have you.
Thanks, Jess, for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the What's the Truth podcast. I'm so glad that you're here, but I don't want to miss you being here. So make sure you subscribe to the What's the Truth podcast, and I'd love to hear what truth that you're standing on today by leaving a review. Until next time, come hang out with me on Instagram at Jessica Hoddle, where we can connect and continue to support and encourage each other on this journey to uncovering the lies that we believe to be true about our lives.